Father, as we pray in the name of your one and only Son, and by the merit of his great sacrifice upon the cross, as we pray for your purpose to be done, as we pray for your glory, as we pray, Father, for your name to be made known unto us, and may it be great, and may it be highly exalted in this time. As we pray, Father, that you would hear us and deliver us for our Lord Jesus Christ's sake, for his sake alone. Not because of us, but because of you. And do it, Father, in a way where you would get all the glory, but save our souls. Have mercy upon the people who are listening, upon my friends and my family. Be a merciful God. And bring us this message for our good in the power of your Spirit. Let not flesh prevail. Let not the strength of man be seen. May it be entirely from start to finish of your Spirit. Help us, Father, to bring you the glory. Help me to think properly. Bring the anointing of your Holy Spirit, and open thou the ears and the hard hearts. Give grace that sinners might be saved. In, by, and for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And good morning or good evening. We're still continuing with this series on the coronavirus for the next, I believe, it's 11 days. I ask you to pray with me that the Lord God would use this ministry, but other ministries all over this world, that he would use this time to do us good, as the coronavirus is out there and we have time to be at home. We have time to consider things that we might not be considering, eternal things, death, our own mortality, the everlasting state of our soul. I brought a message from yesterday on the lake of fire, on the wrath of God. The one I want to bring today is to be holy. I see you, Brother Don. Thank you for listening, for tuning in here. And it's taken from the book of 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 16 says, "Be holy because I'm holy." And I know that there are people who are, right now, you are honestly considering, what does it mean to be saved? And this virus has made you do that. And in this time that we must fact check everything, I got a message on my WhatsApp Messenger, which is also owned by Facebook, and it is used all over Africa. But it was a believer. It was a young man that's intelligent. But the message said it was from CNN, and that it had been proven from the Chinese doctor who came out and said that this is a pandemic, and was reproved or even imprisoned by the Chinese, and then he died, and so posthumously they have come out and said that he was telling the truth. But it had his name attached to the doctrine that ordinary tea, just as to what you have in your house and drink, it will kill the coronavirus. And I said, that can't be true. And so I went and I did the fact checking. It is quite easy online. You plug it into Google and it's not true. It's just a hoax. It's what people say. But that is exactly what happens with a gospel. There's a lot of false gospels. There's a lot of twisting of the scripture. And I know that there are some of you, I hope there's many of you, who want unto be saved. And the first thing is that our salvation is by grace. And I want you to read as to with me verse number 13 through 16. Therefore, with your minds ready for action, be serious, that's what we're talking about now, and set your hope completely on the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And the Apostle Peter in 1 Peter 1 is talking about this grace. It's electing grace. His election is the gospel. It means that he chose us not because he saw us being good or us doing good. It means that he chose us to believe. And that's why the Spirit came to us with power through the preaching of the word. He gave us faith, and then he sprinkled upon our heart the precious blood of Christ, and he cleansed our conscience. Salvation is by grace, full and free, and you're saved by grace. And it's so much grace that Peter tells us in chapter 1, verse number 3 and 4, you can't even lose your salvation. Verse number 4 says that it's an inheritance that's imperishable, uncorrupted. Now, in verse number 2, he said, elect, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, and set apart by the Spirit unto obedience and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. But verse number 3 and 4, he says this, praise the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to his great mercy, his abundant mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope, is we have a living Savior through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that is imperishable, uncorrupted, unfading, and kept in heaven for you. And you are being protected by God's power through faith for a salvation that's ready to be revealed in the last time. He's telling us our salvation is secure. It started in grace with the election of God. And it's a secure salvation that saves us unto the end. And if you're truly saved by grace, you cannot lose it. And thus he says in verse number 6 through 8 or 6 through 9 that me and you are able to rejoice in trials in the midst of the COVID-19 virus in the security of our salvation, because nothing can take away what we have in Christ or even disturb it. This is what he says. Verse number 6, you rejoice in this salvation. Though now for a short time, you have had to struggle in various trials. It could be the virus, it could be something else. It could be something come to shake your faith or to challenge you and your soul. Are you righteous with God? Are you forgiven of your sins? Are you going to make it? So that the genuineness of your faith, which is more valuable than gold, which perishes, all these things do, even though it be refined by fire, even though your faith is refined by fire, it's made purer, it's made better, it shines even brighter in the midst of these trials, may result in praise, glory, and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. There are people whose faith is shining brighter in the midst of the adversity because their courage and confidence is in God, and it's being revealed that they are and have been the true followers of our Lord Jesus Christ. They got the true gospel. Their hope is in the right place. And other people are being even more purified who resist sin and to remember our hope is in Christ. That it may result in praise, glory, and honor at the revelation of Christ. You love him. I love him. Even though you have not seen him, we are walking by faith. And though not seeing him now, you believe in him and rejoice with joy unspeakable, full of glory. How? Because you are receiving by faith, the end of your faith, the salvation of your soul. You know for a fact that you're going to heaven when you die. Now, that, point two, is not to cause us to live in sin. There are people who believe the gospel of God's grace only partly. And my brothers, they pervert it and they twist it. And what they say is this: if we're saved by grace, it's entirely by God. It's apart from our good works. And we are eternally secure, then we don't have to be holy. Have you ever added up a whole bunch of things and it not made sense? Or you put in a whole bunch of ingredients in a drink or in a brew or in a stew, and you've added something that just, there is death in the pot. Once you add in, I don't have to be holy because salvation is by grace, you and I have denied the gospel of God. And I want to give you something authentic. I don't want to be the guy posting on my WhatsApp or on my Facebook page some house teas or some normal tea will cure your coronavirus. That would be malpractice. And I see people here these days who will tell you, oh, the blood of Christ, it will keep you from the coronavirus, as they hide, as they stay home, as they go nowhere near it. And they're lying. It's a man that's in the U.S., Jim Baker. He's already been to prison, but he might be going back. And here's the problem. He has been selling a concoction that he says will cure you of HIV and strains of the coronavirus. And they are going to lock him up and put him in jail because his remedy, it has no proof. And I want you to get the true gospel. I don't want you to put your hope and my hope in a lie. And because I'm actually saved by grace, I am to live holy. That's why Peter says in verse number 14 of chapter 1, as obedient children, do not be conformed to the desires of your former ignorance. It was God who made you a child. Now you are to act like it and live like it and be holy. In the book of Ephesians, in chapter number 2, it puts it like this. Verse number 10, for we are his creation. He created us in Christ Jesus for good works. I'm not saved by good works, but I'm saved unto good works, which God prepared ahead of time. That's election and predestination, so that we should walk in them. Don't let anybody tell you that you don't have to be holy when God says you do. And he commands it, and he equips it, and he performs it in us in his power. In the book of Titus, in chapter number 2, verse 14, it says, he, our Lord Jesus Christ, our great God and Savior, he gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness, all licentiousness, and to purify, to cleanse for himself a people of his own, a peculiar people, zealous for good works. And that is, my friends, is a problem I often find in the Reformed circle that's among true believers, or even those who claim to be. It's a zeal of knowledge, but not of love. It's a zeal for doctrine, but not of the souls of other human beings. And it's a shameful thing. And we need to repent of that. Because our Master has told us to be holy. And this being holy is not holier than thou. It's not trying to earn an extra righteousness in the sight of God my Father, but it's to bring glory unto God. And the Lord Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 15, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. If you love me because I've had mercy on you, you will obey me. And his commands, according to 1 John 5, are not grievous. They are really twofold: to believe on Christ and to love each other. I had a person come. I have my neighbors. I actually pay my neighbors to help me with the housework and with the cooking. I am undomesticated in every way. And I appreciate their help and the inexpensiveness of the labor here. But ever so often, they will come to me for a loan. And they always pay me back. But last night, they came at about maybe 9 o'clock, and I was in relaxed mode. I had my mind on some things. Asking for a loan, that's not much, but my first instinct, it was no. It's late, I'm busy, I got a virus that's in the community, potentially. I don't know the next time I can leave. It's been raining. No. But then I thought about that scripture all night long. If you have it in your hand, unto do good. Don't withhold it from your neighbor. It's the book of Proverbs in chapter number 3. Verse 27, as to when it is in your power, because you actually have it, don't withhold good from the one it belongs to. It is hers, because as my neighbor, she asked for it. Don't say to your neighbor, go away, come back later, and I will give it tomorrow when it is there with you. And the Lord reminded me I had erred, I had sinned, I had done wrong, because I had it, and I could have given it, and and I needed to correct myself, because I'm to love my neighbor. And the way that me and you are to love our neighbor and each other is to spread the gospel. That's what it truly means unto be holy, is to be holy in my conduct. It's for two chief reasons. One is to maintain my communion with God. And I'll talk about that more in just a couple of minutes. But two, it's to spread the gospel. It's to honor the gospel with your life so that people can hear you and me talk about our Lord Jesus Christ and be convicted. And so people can't say, he's not preaching Christ, or he was preaching here, and then over here he's talking about something else, and he's acting foolish, and I see him in his sin, so I don't have to pay any attention unto his message. But our whole life is to honor his gospel. It's to honor him. It's because he saved us. It's because he loved us. He's the one that has commanded us unto do it. And here's point three in this message. It's for our own happiness. Our own happiness. So many Christians, and I mean true Christians, are so miserable because we live for ourselves. And here's what I mean by that. Is we're trying to, according to the book of Haggai 1, is we're trying to build our own house, our own name, our own fame, our own gain, our own glory, our own family, our own house, our own little kingdom, our own comfort, our own ease, our own will. And we're really trying to live for ourselves and hold on to Jesus Christ. And we're being pulled in two directions until we're just about torn to pieces. And we need to give it up. That's why Brother Peter says, look now, be serious. Put your mind on your salvation, that you've been saved by grace, and the glory that's going to come unto you. Don't live any longer after your old lust. Don't live for yourself. And then he says in verse number 15 of 1 Peter 1, but as the one who called you is holy, that's who God is. He saves sinners and he abstains from sin. He loves people and he hates evil. He spreads the gospel. He is the gospel and he spreads it. It's the gospel of God. He's commanded us to preach it and to believe it. As the one who called you is holy, you also are to be holy in all your conduct. Everything about yourself. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. And my brothers and my sisters, it's the only way that he's going to be with you and me in power. It's the only way that we're going to be happy. It's the only way that we're going to have the power of the Holy Spirit. And so as we come to him and say, we say, Father, I'm a sinner whom you have shown mercy. I'm saved. I'm a saint. I am an obedient child. I have these everlasting riches in Christ that can never be taken away. I am going to heaven for sure. Make me happy. Make me rejoice in the gospel so that I can see clearly what you want me to do. Then guide me to it. Make me honor your gospel with my life. Make me live to save others and show me which areas. Show me what I can do. I saw as to one of the sisters on here is named Lydia in China. I mean, she's actually Chinese and she's in Toronto. Is rejoicing because at this time of isolation and containment, she's able to spend time at the church. If the numbers are under the quarantine level, they're online. They have a group now as to where they're talking about on the gospel, and she's excited. And my brothers, that's how we have to live our life. Or else he fights against us in his spirit, and he oppresses us, and he beats us down if we're trying to live for ourselves. So if we're going to be happy, I'm not an ogre. If we're going to be happy, it's going to be by being holy as he has commanded. It's going to be by honoring his gospel and spreading it unto other people. And then let me say this lastly, is we're not trying to be holier than thou. Each and every believer is equally righteous in the sight of God. I'm not one bit more righteous than the next man. That thief on the cross is as worthy to enter into paradise and to be with Jesus Christ. And that's heaven, as the Apostle Paul or Mary or Moses or anybody else. We are accepted and we are justified, made righteous by faith. But when he's talking about being holy and to live a holy life, and we are to live it, He's talking about bringing God glory. He's talking about being thankful. He's talking about being used. He's talking about helping others. And we are to live this life. So be holy as your Father in heaven is holy. Be holy and let him use your life to save these other people. And you will be happy. You'll be filled with joy. He'll assist you by his grace. He will move you by his spirit. He will be the wind in your sails. He will help you to overcome your sin. He will pick you up after you have fallen. Because if you're used by God, you will not be as miserable as if you're trying to use God to serve yourself. So be holy for our Lord Jesus.